This is from Break Through the Noise by Tim Staples and Josh Young. Introduction. Nobody cares. It's very important that you understand this. Nobody cares about that video you just posted, the photo you Instagrammed last night, and especially not that commercial that your brand just pushed out. Really, nobody cares. It's nothing personal. It's just the hard truth. With the explosion of social and digital media, millions of posts are launched every day. People are so bombarded by messaging that they tune out nearly all of it. So no matter how well-intentioned or beautifully designed your message is, it's destined to be lost in an avalanche of noise, chaos, and distraction. This is the reality of the internet world. This is from my narration for Audible.com from The Key to the Gate by Xane Aaron Anderson. Example 1. Suppose a DJ gets a call from Sally, interested in hiring him to play the music at her party. Sally: do you play country music? DJ, enthusiastically: you bet. I play music from every country artist you can think of. Sally: I asked because I really hate country music. Thanks anyway. Go! This is from my narration for Indie Books International for Owning Tomorrow by John Frederick Firth. Section 2. Amazon, the company that decides who gets disrupted and when. Probably no other organization in the world better embodies the power of audacious and continual disruption than Amazon. This is the company which, upon its founding by Bezos in 1994, took on small and large booksellers around the world. Along the way, it forced many incumbents to disrupt their business models or turn off the lights. The short-term negative consequences of the actions of Bezos and his team, however, were overshadowed by the immense value they created, providing billions of books and other printed material to people around the world more efficiently and cheaply than previously possible. This is from Better Than Sex, Confessions of a Political Junkie by Hunter S. Thompson. So there was nothing stupid or strange in the notion, which occurred to me early on, that whatever passed for the GOP brain trust after Lee Atwater died might decide to go into the tank again in 1992. After all, it looked like a good year to duck out of the White House and avoid being held responsible for the collapse of the national economy. And if George Bush had a problem with going down in history as a failed one-term president, so what? He was never in charge anyway, and his ego was expendable. It was a far, far better thing, in the long run, for George to take a fall in 92 than to have the whole party sent to the guillotine in 96, you bet. Look what happened the last time a Republican president tried to fix a doomed national economy. Remember Herbert Hoover? James Baker III said that, as I recall. Or maybe it was Robert Dole. Either way, the logic was compelling, and it took a lot of zip out of the warrior spirit on both sides.